Wow. How glorious. How glorious a morning. How glorious to be with you. Thank you with my whole heart, with the greatest respect. I thank you for welcoming me into your community. And those of you online, bless you wherever you are. Blessings to those of you online, wherever you are in the world this morning. We're going to talk about love. And the question is, why talk about love? Well, it seems like a silly question, but let's explore it for just a minute. I invite us not to talk about love as a moralistic issue, like we should be more loving. And I invite us not to talk about love as a Pollyannish issue, like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we were more loving? I invite us to really deal with love as that which is essential to our fulfillment as human beings. So if I want you to love your life, if I want you to be fulfilled in the daily living of your life, if I want you just to love your own existence and love being you, then we've got to talk about love, because that's the only time you really love being you is when you're loving. You know, you don't love being you when you're resenting. You don't love being you when you're judging. The only time you really love your own existence is when you're loving others. And it's about your effectiveness, because we're only effective with people. If we want to make a difference with people, we can only be effective with people when we're loving them. Why is that? For us to make a difference with other human beings, we have to be listened to, don't we? I don't care how brilliant we are. I don't care how brilliant our ideas are. If the other person doesn't listen, it's for naught, isn't it? Now, what has people listened to us? Have you noticed? You don't like to listen to somebody that's judging you, do you? Do you like to listen to somebody that you think is in some way judging you or criticizing you or close their heart to you? No, none of us do. So if we want to be listened to, and whether that's by our own children, you know, sometimes with our own children we make that mistake. We use our logic. We give them our infinite wisdom, but forget the love part, and so they don't listen. Now, for us to be effective with people, we've got to be listened to by them. And to be listened to by them, we've got to love them. So we're going to talk about love. That's why we're talking about love, for our effectiveness and for our fulfillment as human beings. Now, sometimes I think people make a mistake and they try to have themselves be more loving. I invite you not to ever worry about that, ever. I would never, ever suggest you be more loving, ever. What I would suggest is that when you're free, you do love. When you're free, we love. Have you noticed that? Free from what? Free from resentments. Free from righteousness. Free from resignation. When we're free, we naturally love. Now, arguing and judging has become normal, hasn't it? But boy, is there a big difference between normal and natural. Just because we've gotten used to something doesn't mean it's natural for us. I assert that what's natural for us is to love, and when we're free, we love. So if I had a mission this morning, it's to give you keys to your own freedom, and so for years to come, you're out there in the world sharing your love with the world and having that make the difference that it makes. All right, so let's get some freedom going, shall we? Let's start with freedom from resentment. Freedom from resentment. So it's easy to resent somebody, isn't it? Isn't it easy to get a little bit of a grudge going and an opinion about somebody, resent them a bit? That doesn't take any effort on our parts. How do we get ourselves free? Well, sometimes how we try to get ourselves free is to try to talk ourselves out of it. That doesn't work too well. Because as soon as we give ourselves some evidence, well, they had a bad day, I can understand. A minute later, we think, yeah, but I had a bad day too. So we start resenting them again. Sometimes how we try to get ourselves free from resentment is we try to just change our feelings. Like, oh, I shouldn't feel that way. I should feel nicer to it. But that doesn't work that well either. To set ourselves free from resentment is easy. And you've heard it before. It's called forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness. But what is forgiveness? Forgiveness, let's talk this morning not as we somehow logically can figure out why and how to forgive somebody. Forgiveness never has to make sense, ever. Forgiveness never has to be a feeling. You don't have to feel forgiving ever. So if you want to be free to forgive, give up the notion that you have to feel forgiving before you forgive, or it has to make sense to forgive. No. Forgiveness is one thing and one thing only. It's you making a choice about which life you're going to live. The other person did something. Now I have a choice. Am I going to live a resenting life, or am I going to live a loving life? That's my choice. I may not have had a choice about what they did. I may have nothing to say about what they did. I can't change what they did. But I have my choice. From this minute forward, do I resent or do I love? You see, it's not even for them, is it? You don't forgive them for them. It's for you. It's for your life. It's our choice about the life we're going to live. And it doesn't have to make sense and it doesn't have to feel a certain way. Forgive. I give you back my love like I gave it before anything happened. Forgive. So I invite you right now to think of anybody you may have been resenting, anybody that you may have had a grudge against, may have had somehow they offended you in some way and you've just been holding them just like a little bit at distance from your heart. Okay, just close your eyes for a minute. Hold out your hands in front of you like I'm going to put something in your hands. Now imagine holding that person in your hands right now. Just that person. Imagine holding them in your hands. And now slowly and gracefully bring them and place them in your heart. Place them in your heart and hold them in the preciousness of the love of your heart. And notice if the resentment doesn't dissolve. It's a gift you give yourself. One of the greatest gifts you give yourself is forgiving others. Put them back in your heart. Make that choice called, I choose love. I could choose resentment, but I choose love. Doesn't have to make sense. Doesn't have to feel a certain way. So keeping ourselves free from resentment. Here's another tough one. Ready? Keeping ourselves free from righteousness. How do you keep yourself free from righteousness? Well, what do I mean by righteousness? Have you noticed that every argument you've ever been in, every argument you've ever heard between other people, there was an assertion that one party was right and the other party was wrong? I don't care what you're arguing about. You could be arguing about whose turn it is to do the dishes, or you could be arguing about, you know, the world situation. And whether it's an argument between two individuals or an argument between nations, there's an assertion. One party's right, the other party's wrong. To get yourself free from righteousness, what doesn't work is to try to somehow talk yourself out of it. It doesn't work. Here's what is essential. For us to actually get as human beings, we've never been right. No one has. We've never, ever once been right. I know you're looking at me like, now I'd like you to consider. I've never been right. I'd like you to consider. You've never been right, ever, about anything. Now, you'll enjoy this part a little bit more. You've never been wrong either, okay? See, you enjoyed that part a little bit more, okay? But what I mean by that, see, maybe as human beings, we all have our views of life about everything. And when you deal with everybody has a view, nobody has the same view of anything. You know, if we can look, you can look at the screen up there. Everybody in the room, look at the screen up there. And every single one of us has a different view of the screen. No two people have the same view ever. If you're behind my house and I'm in front of my house, we see different things, don't we? To argue which one of us is right, that doesn't make sense, does it? Consider this in life. Everybody has a view of everything. Certainly today, politics, people have different views about politics, and it's become very divisive, hasn't it? Because one of us has to be right and one of us has to be wrong. What if not? What if nobody has to be right and nobody has to be wrong? What if we simply acknowledge, you have one view, I have another. I have a neighbor who I love dearly, and during the last election, I found out he had completely opposite political views of me. And it was fine, it was no problem. But then he started posting some things on Facebook that were like, it wasn't quite so easy to just be with anymore. So I called him up. I go, Josh, can I come over? And he said, sure. I said, I just want to talk. And so I go over and I say, tell me everything. Tell me how you see everything. I just want to hear how you see it and why you see it the way you see it. And do you know, I sat and listened for about 2 hours. I didn't say a word for 2 hours. I just listened. I found out we can listen. You and I can listen to anything. We don't have to agree. I caught myself every once in a while wondering, do I agree with them or disagree with them? If you ever are wondering whether you agree or disagree with someone, you're trying to decide who's right and who's wrong. With views, you don't have to agree with them. You can just listen to them. You can be curious about them. You can wonder about them. You can have compassion for what life does the other person have given the way they see it. So to free ourselves from righteousness, I invite us to get, none of us have ever been right, and none of us have ever been wrong. We all have views of life. And rather than argue whose view is the right view, we can simply get interested. How do you see it? Because I don't see that when I look. And what life does that give you to live, given you see it that way? And that'll engender both understanding and compassion. But guess what? Zero argument. So I'd like you to consider now living argument-free for the rest of your days. What if you never had another argument with anybody ever again for the rest of your days? All right, turn to the person next to you or the two people next to you for just a minute and speculate about that. Just start sharing with them. Just say this. If I never had another argument ever again in my life, here's what might happen. Just share that with the person next to you for a minute. Nita. Okay, good. Do you know what time I started? All right, begin to finish up. I invite you to live argument-free, free from righteousness. And you don't try to then decide who is right, who's wrong, what you agree with, what you disagree with. It's simply appreciate everybody has a view. And none of us ever have the same view. What there is to do with who's right and who's wrong is argue about it. What there is to do with views is appreciate them, get interested in them. Get curious about them, wonder about them, and particularly wonder about the life the person lives given they see it that way. So, free from resentment, free from righteousness. How about this? Free from resignation. See, we get resigned that, that relationship's never going to work or that situation's never going to work out. If you look at resignation, it's simply saying that the future is going to be like the past. So that's what our brain does. Our brain predicts that the future is going to be like the past. So that when we think about the future, we're actually thinking about the past. So when we say it's never going to work, what we're actually doing is reflecting on it didn't work before, which means it won't work again. All right, freedom from resignation. How do you get that? It's with a simple recognition. It is now, that clock says it's 11:58. Here's how you get free from resignation. You deal with, it's 11:58, and 11:59 hasn't happened yet. You haven't had one thought in 11:59. You haven't had one emotion at 11:59. You haven't said one word at 11:59. You haven't heard anything at 11:59. Nothing has happened. 11:59 is up for grabs. It's yours to create. But to really keep ourselves aware that as much as we think the past predicts the future, it actually doesn't. If I flunked fifth grade, does that mean I'll flunk sixth grade? Not necessarily. Only if I make up a story that I'm stupid, then maybe that predicts it. If I have one business that fails, does that predict my next business will fail? No. Not necessarily. Unless I make up a story that I'm no good at business, then that begins to predict something. But in the absence of a story about the past, it's over, isn't it? 11:59 is gone. It's over. It's done. Okay, good. 12 is coming up. It's up for grabs. It hasn't happened yet. Freedom from resentment. Freedom from righteousness. Freedom from resignation. I wish you freedom. When we're free, we love. When we're free, we naturally love. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry, how am I going to love that person? If the heart is closed, something closed it. Rather than try to make yourself more loving, find out what closed the heart, put that aside. Put that aside. We don't even have to, do you know we can put things aside? We don't even have to solve everything. So in other words, if this glass is in my way, right? Suppose this glass was between me and Richard, right? The glass is between us. There's something between us, right? I can work on the glass. I can try to solve the glass. I can try to change the glass. I can try to fix the glass. Or I can put it aside. And then there's nothing between us. It's there. I can take it back anytime I want. We don't have to fix everything. We can put some things aside and then let the love be there. And when the love is there, really, we have a power. It's the most powerful thing we got. We can work out anything with anybody. Anything with anybody. We can't work things out if we keep people at arm's distance. You ever go dancing and it's a fast dance and your partner's like a few feet away? You can't move them. How do you move your dance partner? You take them in your arms. And if somebody's in your arms, then you can move them with you. We can work anything out with anybody as long as we have them in our arms. So this morning, the thing I'd like you to leave you with is don't try to be more loving. Just keep yourselves free. And when you keep yourself free, you naturally love. So bless your freedom. Bless our freedom. Let freedom reign. I wish us freedom. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Oh, thank you.
Can I get you to just speak a little bit about the 21-day challenge that you're throwing out?
Sure.
Because I really want this whole congregation to participate.
Okay. I'm going to offer in a few weeks, I'm going to begin what's called the 21-day relationship challenge. So what's that? So I'm going to work with people, and what it'll be is it'll be all on Zoom. You can join me on Zoom. I'll start with a good coaching call where we work a couple hours together about the basis of relationship. Oh, by the way, one important thing is, remember, love and relationship are not the same thing. You can love someone and still have a total choice about the form of the relationship. I can love you and marry you, can I? But I can also love you and divorce you, can I? I can change the form of the relationship, and I don't have to stop the love, do I? I could love you and hire you to work for me, couldn't I? I could also love you and dismiss you, couldn't I? Just because you change the form of the relationship doesn't mean the love has to stop flowing. I think it's very important for us to get love and the form of the relationship are two very different things. You want to be able to give yourself the freedom to love and then choose the form of the relationship. That's a whole different choice. Okay, anyway, the 21-day relationship challenge. We're going to work together. First day, I'll do a couple hours of talking and coaching for people about relationships. Then I'll do a week, every day for a week, I'll send you some message, some coaching and a message for how to work that week. We'll come back on day 7. We'll do another 2-hour session, do some, again, some talking, some coaching. Then another week of, I'll send you a daily message of what to work on during the week. Then, again, at the 14th day, and then finally the 21 day. And here's the promise. You come into that conversation with any relationship you have any concern about, you're not enjoying in any way, any relationship that you're bothered by, any relationship that is you're disempowered in, anything, any relationship that for some reason you're not 100% joyous in, and the promise is by the end of the 21 days, that relationship is a source of true joy for you. You would call it miraculous. Any relationship. And I don't care the starting point. It could be that you haven't talked to them in 30 years and think you'll never will. I don't care. Start there. And give me 21 days with you. And we'll make those relationships miraculous. Okay? The 21-day relationship challenge.
Thank you. I appreciate it.